a meeting that happened right where I am here in just north of Miami between a really, really young, disheveled Bill Gates and some IBM executives, not only created the richest person in the world on for like the next 15 years, but created a whole different scenario where 20 years ago, 52% of the Fortune 500 no longer exist. 20 years from now, 50% of today's Fortune 500 will not exist. If you're not a really big company on that big Fortune list that have the economic power to go and M&A your way to success, it's actually 71% of tech companies, for example, won't exist in 10 years. So if you don't have that capital, if you don't have that large size and staying power, it's even worse of a story. All of this story has a partnerships underpinning to it. The companies today that we're going into this third major 20-year era of compute, moving from client server 1981 through kind of 1999, SaaS in 1999 with the birth of Salesforce, 11 years later, the birth of AWS. But that 20-year cloud cycle has now given way to the AI cycle last March. And we're at the start of a 20-year cycle here, and I can already predict some of the trends that are going to knock off half the companies and their partnership trends.
Let's talk about those, because when I think about the leaders that I coach in this area, there is a significant amount of fear around how they should navigate this, because they do come, you know, they were junior leaders in the late 80s and 90s. They are thinking very carefully about what are the things we've seen before in our past, which we can leverage to try and make decisions to make things sustainable moving forward. What are those trends, do you think, that we're going to see at the end of 10, 15, 20 years time?
Yeah, well, there's a number of them. If you really cut your teeth, you know, in the 80s and 90s, your mentors, you know, the people, silver-haired executives back then that guided you in your early career, were two-tiered distribution executives. They understood how to set up a supply chain of how to get product to market, how to choose your routes to market country by country, how to really drive a product to the end user in a linear way. It involved a whole bunch of incentives. It involved a whole bunch of partner management. You know, you signed up a whole bunch of resellers. But if you started your career a little bit later, this is almost like Malcolm Gladwell outlier type of stuff.
Yep.
If you started your career later, if you happened to be a millennial, you would have joined at a time where, you know, I mentioned Salesforce.com, but ServiceNow and Workday and Marketo and NetSuite and HubSpot and a whole, you know, burgeoning now this year, $420 billion SaaS market kind of got its start. You'll understand that subscriptions don't require resale. They absolutely don't require distribution in the same way, because you're distributing bits, not atoms, and you don't need forklifts. And in this world, you know, what was 70 to 80% getting sold through this linear supply chain overnight became 10 to 20. Like Salesforce got to $35 billion, got on the Dow 30, pretty much 99% direct. But if you grew up in this era, you'll realize that Salesforce has 223,000 partners. ServiceNow has 250,000 partners. And you'd ask, like, how could a direct company who doesn't, you know, issue any of their revenue through third parties grow those kind of partnerships? Well, go back to some of the early Dreamforces and listen to Mark Benioff of how he kicked it off. He called it Ohana, this Hawaiian term for we're all family. But he looked out to an audience of 180,000 people, customers, partners, employees, everybody together. And basically said, you know, for every dollar, back then it was $4.23 of services and other software get created for every dollar of Salesforce. Today, that number is $6.19. It's the multiplier effect.
Yep.
You shouldn't be at Salesforce in a subscription model or a consumption model at AWS, Microsoft, or Google, asking to make 5 or 10 or 20% of the deal. Like you asked, you know, IBM, Compaq, HP, Cisco back in the day for 30, 40% of the deal. You shouldn't be asking those questions, because they're the wrong partnership questions. You should be asking us in our QBRs, how do I make $2, $3, or $4 for every dollar of our product? That product has a whole spin-off of services before, during, and after the transaction. There's hundreds of them. The consulting, the design, the implementations, the integrations. I could rip through all, you know, kind of 200 services you could sell. But the partner of the year at these kind of subscription and consumption companies, that next 20-year era, were companies that were selling $3 at 75% margins for every dollar of the product. And these are the partners of the year. They're the ones held up on stage as the heroes. And they don't have any resale business. So again, cutting your teeth in a different partnering moment. Well, guess what? If you're cutting your teeth today, it's a new Gen AI moment. And the pricing model, again, has completely changed. All the agents and that pricing model from Salesforce is no longer a subscription. It's $2 per conversation. That ServiceNow or Zendesk, it's per outcome or per automated, you know, workflow execution. So it's at a very, you know, transactional microeconomics level. And it's just taking consumption to the next level. So if I learned in two-tier distribution, or if I learned in traditional subscription consumption models, those skills now have to be transformed to grow your career in the next 20 years. And keeping your head on the swivel and not sticking to the past is how you get to the top.